Thanks for listening to the Adam Carolla Show on Podcast One. 10 years, hundreds of guests, millions of downloads, one podcast.
Yeah, get it on. Got to get it on. No choice but to get on mandate. Get it on.
The 10-year anniversary podcast, March 10th, Peterson Auto Museum. Mahalo for a decade of getting it on. From Carolla One Studios in Glendale, California, and streaming live on YouTube, this is the Adam Carolla Show. Adam's guest today, James Brolin, with Gina Grad on news, Bald Brian on sound effects, and Vinny Tortorich drops by. And now, his penis is Potsy, but his brain is Fonzie. Adam Carolla.
Yeah, get it on. Got to get it on. No choice but to get on Monday. Get it on. Thanks for tuning in, and thanks for sharing. I talk to so many people when I'm on the road that just share it with the husband, wife, coworker. That's how we're able to go into our 10th year. We're 2 weeks away from our 10-year anniversary. Less. Good day, Gina Grad.
Good day to you.
And Bald Brian. That guy's got the penis of a 13-year-old. And Vinny Tortorich, our favorite Vinny Tortorich.
Hello.
I am excited because... We were talking a few weeks back about Tom Brady's bizarre diet, and I'm very excited to have you sort of break down his diet, because his diet seems...
The souls of other football fans?
Yes, Rams fans. Yeah, he feasts on the souls of Rams fans. I like any diet because it suggests a plan. It's like, right. It's a New Year's resolution. Like if you talk to someone and you go, what's your New Year's resolution? And they go, well, I'm going to try to go to bed by midnight, but it's kind of tough because I'm kind of a night owl. I go, good. When I talk to someone and I go, what's your New Year's resolution? And I go, what year's resolution? And I go, oh my God, you should at least have something. Have something. Yeah. And so I like that Brady has something. And I like any diet because it suggests a plan. Right. But some plans are better than others. And his seems fairly cuckoo. But I'd like to know from Vinny Tortorich. And we have the diet printed out. So we'll get to that in a second. I am going to tell you why I'm me. And why you should all worship at the altar.
Oh, boy. Strap in.
First, take a while. I'll let you know this half of the show is brought to you by MedMen. Go to MedMen.com, enter Adam Casserole Challenge. You can tweet us your questions at Adam Carolla Show with hashtag Casserole Challenge. Scott's Turf Builder and Tommy John at TommyJohn.com. James Brolin is coming in, and I'm excited. I was taking a deep dive into James Brolin, and as I showed you, I got a picture of a transport truck with a Ferrari 308 in the foreground and the transport truck in the background. And it says Paul Newman, driver, Gene Hackman, team manager, James Brolin, Clint Eastwood, driver on the side of a transport truck with a Ferrari that is sponsored by Budweiser. In the foreground, and it's a car that I'm aware of, and it's a truck that I'm aware of, and I think the same gentleman owns them both, which is always nice. And I always knew Brolin did a little driving back in the day, but I didn't know he drove with Clint Eastwood and with Paul Newman, and so if you look at the picture and you check it out, as a matter of fact, Max Zapata, I got some new monitors, some old new monitors at my house if we want to try to replace these two or some sort of splitter problem or whatever. But let's make a note. I'll see if we can fix that.
Will do.
But if you blow the picture up, it says Budweiser, it says Ferrari, it says Clint Eastwood, it says James Brolin as the drivers, it says Paul Newman as a driver, and then it has Gene Hackman. Some of it seemed like a goof, but I'm curious. So I started looking into it a little, and I said to Dylan, look into Brolin's driving. And he said, turns out, let's see, the 24 hours at the Nürburgring. And I said, Nürburgring? And he said, yeah, something like that. I said, well, that's a big track. That's a big race. That's a big deal.
Nürburgring's a little smaller.
And he said, yeah. And then he screamed, you're not the boss of me, man. My dad's a lawyer. He'll sue your ass.
So he said, my dad owns the park. Remember that? My dad owns the park. Did you guys ever get into that?
Yeah, I got
it. Like, you'd fight another kid, like, my dad owns this park. You're like 7 years old.
Oh. Yeah. Oh, I'd get stuff like, my dad has an elephant gun and he's going to come out here and shoot you.
So like, absurd. Yeah. Like, I invented the question mark.
These poor kids now. My dad's addicted to you porn. Don't make me get him out of his office. Like, what? Hey, my dad is a taekwondo expert. Sure. He's going to come down here and beat your ass.
My dad has an opioid. I wouldn't call it a dependency, I guess.
He's not going to share any more oxy with you.
That's right. It was supposed to be a simple dental procedure. 4 years later, we're in ruins. So I said to Dylan, look into his racing. And he said, okay. And then he said, he drove at Sebring. And I said, well, Sebring, that's the 12 hours of Sebring, which is the trifecta. It's the 24 hours of Le Mans, it's the 24 hours of Daytona, and then the 12 hours of Sebring. Those are the big endurance races we've talked about before. And then I said, what did he do? And he said, who'd he drive with, or what car did he drive, and blah, blah, blah. And then he said, he was a night rider. He drove at night. And then I said, no, they have shifts. They go back and forth like 2 hours in, 2 hours out. Mm-hmm. But anyway, a few moments ago, I said, any more about Sebring? He's like, yeah. He drove a Porsche 924 Turbo, was put out of the race when he hit a pig.
Oh, my God.
Wow.
A dog was chasing a pig across the track, and
For
he
real?
Hit a pig. Yes, and I said, that's why you have to take those dives. So, Doberman's chasing a pig, and the Doberman and trapped. So Sebring is kind of rural. It's in Florida. It's not a track. It's an airport, and they put cones up and stuff to kind of make it into a track. Like they do some tracks, like Laguna Seca and stuff, are sealed off tracks. The others are just sort of end up taking streets that they put hay bales around for one day.
Well, that's like Le Mans, right?
Yeah, Le Mans that way, although it's probably all sort of caged in now. But they used to have races that kind of went down the street.
Right.
And so if there was a pig and a dog and a whatever, you might hit something.
Yeah.
Or a kid. So now I'm really interested in talking to him about hitting a pig at Sebring. Speaking of cars, and I thought of Brian.
Mm-hmm.
I thought of Gina.
Oh.
I didn't think of Vinny.
Damn.
But I went to the Chicago Auto Show, biggest auto show in the country, so they say.
No kidding.
It is now. The convention center in Chicago's massive, and I guess it's bigger in L.A. and bigger in Detroit and blah, blah, blah. Oh, by the way, somewhere on my deathbed when I'm just scrolling through all of the things, I used to go religiously to the L.A. Auto Show, and I kind of stopped because I started just doing a bunch of vintage racing and doing things that were more interesting. But I used to go. But one of the biggest problems was you would go there, and I'd go right to, like, the Audi booth, and I'd go, oh, do you have the new RS7? And they'd go, yeah, that's out. And there's one prototype or whatever. And I'd go, where is it? And they'd go, it's in Detroit. And I'd go, why is it in Detroit? And they'd go, because the Detroit Auto Show takes place the same weekend that the LA Auto Show does. But if you'd like to see a stock A4 with a cloth interior, we have that. And I'm like, I can go to McKenna Audi and look at 5 dozen of those. Right. I want to see the cool stuff. And then you'd go to like the Porsche thing and you go, oh, do you have the new Cayman SG with the whatever? And they go, yeah, that's at Detroit. We have a bone stock 911 here that Jerry Seinfeld farted on. And I'd go, why are we having the events at the same, if the biggest one in the world is Detroit and LA, but LA sells way more Audis. Mm-hmm. There's not a lot of RS7s in Detroit, right around the street.
Yeah.
It's Detroit area. The biggest market in the world for probably out, like Porsche probably sells more Porsches in SoCal than they do in Europe. They really do, but certainly Michigan.
Those cars should go be on the tour, basically. You know, one weekend here. It's like having the Venice Film Festival and then Sundance the same weekend. It's like, no, man, your stars to go where they're needed.
5 years of me going, why are we having this on the same weekend and all your good stuff's in Detroit and yet you move all your product here in LA, but none of it's here? And eventually someone went, what we did is we moved the timing from Detroit. We moved ours earlier. Mm-hmm. And I was like, of course. Why does everything take so long? Why do I have to complain so long about how one Don't you get tired of people coming up to the booth going, where's the good stuff? And you go, it's at Detroit.
Let's cut to the chase.
So they did stagger the Detroit and the LA Auto Show. Anyway, Chicago one is the biggest. We went there with Casserole and I did some media stuff there. And I had some downtime in between, and me and August walked around and looked at cars. And so they had... And it's huge. So they had like the Jeep experience where you get in a Jeep and you go up over the fake man-made hills indoors.
Oh, wow. Cool. Didn't Christie do that?
Great. With Land Rover, yeah.
Indoors.
Actually, on a course, though.
Right, okay.
They had the Land Rover one. Here's how clean cars burn, by the way, now.
You can run them indoors.
You can start insane. A V8 Land Rover indoors and drive it up and down a fake hill.
That's insane.
So they got the Land Rover obstacle course. They got the Ram truck one. They got the Jeep one. And then I go over the other side. I see Subaru.
Oh. All right. Now we're
guess
talking.
What they got.
The love maze?
Yes, they have picture station with
we
their family.
We always talk about how they're made with love and you can't make it without love and it's all about good vibes. If you can find a picture, Maxipata,
selfie station or something.
It's got to be a puppy in it or something.
Well,
it's like a pop-up store.
Let's see. Maxipata, is this something we don't...
goods?
Yeah.
Something we don't possess? Or there's an issue?
Cookies, sugar cookies shaped like Subarus.
Oh, it is puppies.
Oh!
Well done.
Yay.
I'll tell you how I guess that. We actually own the Subaru. We're on Subaru number 2. It's our favorite car.
Mine too. I'm on number 3.
And the whole thing, they send you a thing every month, and it's all about puppies and, you know.
It should be about bonderized steel I-beam suspension.
No. Let me tell you. You get that. I'm going to bring you a few of these magazines. It's
Please.
About really, really, really good-looking people camping with granola and puppies.
It's
That sounds like a life.
It's alive. It's a pet adoption.
Yeah.
It's literally everybody else is watching their truck go over a mountain and talking about limited slip diff and torque ratios, and they're giving out puppies. Literally puppies.
Serena would love that.
Has Subaru gotten to the point where it's so renowned for its ruggedness and its off-roading that now they're just it's puppies because everyone knows?
No.
They're Richard Gere with Cindy Crawford. Like, where do we go from here?
Puppies.
No, they're not so renowned for their anything.
The Outbacks. I mean, you know, they've secured that demo.
Well, everybody. Jeep
won World War II. Jeep is Jeep. That's going over hills and dales. I don't even know what a dale is. You have another picture? There's the kissing booth.
What?
Where the puppy, that a puppy kissing booth.
That's good.
Yeah. So... In the middle of a million square feet of cars being given away, they just have. It was so on brand. It was so perfect.
Well, as Christy pointed out when she was here, Subaru's killing it. They're doing really well with this love thing. That's like they've got a foothold in this unique space.
Their car says Subaru loves pets.
Did they have any sort of...
It's not Subaru. Subaru has found out that the demo is pussies. Everyone's a pussy. Everyone is a classic pussy, and we're going to sell cars to pussies.
Hey, man, pussies buy cars, too.
That's right.
Pussies buy cars, too.
They got nothing to do. There's no discussion of sticker price or horsepower or torque. Or
they have no horsepower.
There's nothing. It's all, we love pets.
I had to buy a vet just to offset the Subaru.
Was there anything like you could get in the car and it would do anything fun for you?
Or it would purr at you.
You'd find another puppy in the glove compartment.
It's in a world where everyone else was just trying to sell the performance of their vehicle.
Awesome.
Subaru had no discussion about anything other than dogs, puppies, and good vibes, and a kissing booth with a dog sleeping in it.
That's genius. That's a differentiator. Everyone's playing.
Everyone's
swimming
in the same
pool.
By the way, worked.
Their 4-cylinder Boxster engine with that all-wheel drive system with the computer in it works like a charm in the snow.
We're too busy looking at puppies.
No, we do a lot of snow stuff, so that thing tracks like it's on a rail.
Do you have, I'm not saying it doesn't work. I'm just saying.
We wouldn't know.
They wouldn't tell us.
I'm saying that we talked about the good vibes of Subaru, and out of 1 million square feet and 1,000 companies represented, there was one
perfect
that had a puppy kissing booth.
Live animals. You have live puppies at this car show. I've never seen that.
Never seen that. And they make an all-wheel drive, like, all-terrain vehicle. It's not like they make pink golf carts for the Budweiser girls to get around in. This is an all-terrain vehicle. Anyway, it's working. Yep. And I'm sad to say it's working.
Proud Crosstrek owner.
We have Tom Brady's diet.
I brought some stuff in, but Christy, you have it also, or
yeah, it's on Vinny's sheet.
It's on Vinny's sheet, but yeah. Vinny doesn't have the diet.
No, he has it too. But
oh, okay,
I just went on the internet and wrote some stuff down because people started asking me about 2 weeks ago when the Super Bowl happened. So I went in because a year ago people were telling me, "Hey, Tom Brady is doing NSNG." So I was like, "Well, that's great." And Tom Brady started talking about how he felt better than he felt when he was 27 years old. You know, right. All of a sudden, all of his aches and pains are gone. So I went through and just took the broad strokes. These are things that Tom will eat. Pussy, veggies, whole grains, grass-fed beef, wild salmon, olive oil raw, and coconut oil.
Not cooked, not olive oil for cooking.
Not heated.
Right.
Yeah, just raw. Those are all things Tom will eat. These are some of the don'ts, and then I'll get into the nuances in a second. No white sugar. Does he eat brown sugar? White flour, I get that. And seed oils, I agree with all of that. The only thing I would pull off of the other list would be the whole grains.
Right.
Right? And that would make it perfect. Then he stays away from nightshades. Now, a lot of people have trouble with nightshades.
Why? I never understood this.
Eggplant, yeah. Bell peppers. These are fruits that bloom at night, or vegetables that bloom at night.
Something to that. I don't know why they're called nightshades. They're nightshades. People have problems with them. The problem I have with this is peppers are usually known as an anti-inflam. Mm-hmm. But for whoever put him on this wacky diet decided that he's allergic to that. And I'll explain why that's a problem in a minute. Eggplants, mushrooms, peppers, tomatoes. Tomatoes are probably the biggest problem here. Usually if you're having a sliced tomato on a salad or something, it's not enough to cause anything. It's when it's concentrated and cooked down into a sauce or, you know, ketchup and this sort of thing. He also stays away from dairy. Here is the thing on dairy. Half of the population, literally half from what I can tell, can have all the dairy they want. I'm one of those people. I can eat cheese, butter, heavy cream, no problem. Other people can look at dairy and become inflamed. And there's no rhyme or reason to either one. Apparently someone checked or he checked or, you know, and the way you check is the same way you figure out if you have celiac disease. You go in and you stop eating, you know, gluten, and if you feel better, obviously you have a problem with celiac. Same with dairy. If you can't lose weight, if you always feel inflamed, if you have irritable bowel syndrome or anything like that, it could be dairy, it could be tomatoes or nightshades or whatever. So maybe he had that problem. I don't know. The problem comes in when celebrities start espousing these diets and they put them out there and everyone else starts going, well, Tom Brady's 41 and he's winning Super Bowls, so this must be the way to eat,
mm-hmm.
right? And that's where I have a problem when things become conflated in media. The other person that's doing that right now is, I always called her Bouncy, but Beyonce, where she's saying that you could get lifetime free tickets to her concerts if you just go vegan. And I just heard where this Cory Booker guy is, if he wins and becomes president, you know, we're going to change everything again and just become vegan. And there's nothing good about that.
It's the Green New Deal.
Mm. Yeah.
You just get to eat greens.
That's right.
Exactly. They're talking about this Green New Deal. And we're already in trouble as a country. And they're looking to make it worse. Right?
Well, is Brady like eating oatmeal with some fruit, some bananas in it or something like that for breakfast? Probably not the Vinny Tortorich way.
No, I would tell him to get off of the bananas. It's full of sugar, and he's having shakes, too. He's drinking a lot of quote-unquote protein shakes.
But can we also make this? It's a sort of the Mark Spitz thing, or whoever, who's got the most gold medals in swimming.
Phelps.
If you're going to swim for 11 hours a day, you can eat whatever you want and as much as you want, and you're going to look pretty good in a Speedo because you never stop working out. I mean, well, we have to understand that Tom Brady is literally being paid to show up to a facility and work out all day, every day. So, of course, in and out would work for him. Mm-hmm. I don't know that he'd played peak form into his 40s, but I'm saying, keep in mind, the guy's on his feet in a training facility all day. So you kind of go like, well, look, he looks pretty good. Mm-hmm. But of course, he's in a facility 7 hours a day taking snaps.
That helps. And also having the Lynette Corolla syndrome also helps. Some people can eat whatever they want. And as you say, Lynette eats and she gets thinner. You know,
she never changes. She never gets fat. It doesn't matter what she eats.
And whenever I talk to her, she looks at me and goes, talk to the hand type of thing. You know, it's like, come on, look at me. And, and Phelps could be one of those people. And whenever the
Olympics, he could, or he could just.
He's a world-class athlete.
He just swims for 17 hours a day. If you have bad genes, you have bad genes. Right. You're going to look a little. There are guys who fight in the MMA who look a little roly-poly. That's a sort of their genes. But if you have regular genes and you swim for 9 hours a day, you're probably going to be in pretty decent shape. And also, you're 26, mm-hmm. You know. So I don't know how much of this. So what do we disagree with? We don't like. Well, how about the Himalayan pink sea salt?
It's pretty, but does it make a difference?
Himalayan pink sea salt is the second best salt on the planet.
What's the first one?
It comes from Utah. It's Redmond's Real Salt, and you could get it at any douchebag store. You get it on Amazon or wherever you go. Redmond's Real Salt has more nutrients than any other salt on the planet. I think the stuff that comes out of Eastern Europe is all it's got like 59 or 60 different minerals in it. Redmond's has like 63 or 64. And it comes from Utah. It was a buried seed.
Is it harvested from like Salt Lake? That's a stupid question.
But no, it's not. Actually, it comes from Redmond, which is probably 90 miles adjacent to Salt Lake City. And they're pulling it out 500 feet below the surface of the earth. I know all of this because it's what I use in my salt pill.
Wow.
It's the salt that I looked for the best salt in the world, and it was actually in the United States.
So if we're going for second best salt, are we talking Trader Joe's Himalayan pink salt?
Absolutely. Same stuff.
Okay.
Comes right out of Pakistan, and that's where most of it is coming from.
Is there a discernible taste difference between Himalayan pink sea salt and just, like, you know, sea salt?
Yeah.
There is.
You will notice the difference.
Okay. Right.
Yeah, and it's damn good. It tastes really good.
Well, Jay Leno has, like, the weird black volcano salt I saw in his kitchen.
A lot of the Redmond stuff is black, too. Yeah. It comes black or red. Even the pink sea salt has a lot. If you took a big chunk of it, you'll see a lot of black. And if you take a flashlight under a big rock of it, you'll see black and pink pushing through. It goes right through. You can see right through the rock.
Let me tell you quickly about MedMen, and then we shall continue. Break free from the status quo this year. Surprise someone special with a different kind of flower, candy, or chocolate from MedMen premium dispensaries. They may even have a love potion or two. All, by the way, the color over there is red. That's their jersey color over there. It's the color passion, desire as well. If you're single, you can treat yourself to a day or night out to one of MedMen's 15 locations. Let their team, including in-house pharmacists at medical stores, help you find the gift you've always wanted. Go to MedMen.com. Find the store nearest you. MedMen, MedMen, MedMen.com to find the store nearest you, right, Dawson?
This February, love and cannabis is in the air, where there's a perfect match for everyone. Visit a MedMen store and use code Adam Carolla at checkout to get 10% off your purchase. Terms and conditions apply.
I got a lot of tweets. I'm going to let Vinny reload for a second. I got a lot of tweets because Crank Yankers is coming back.
Yeah.
And I was aware of it, but there was some sort of official release, and people got hold of it.
It's exciting.
Yeah. I'm glad that people like the show. I'm.
Will you be involved in the day to day?
Yeah, I don't know what involvement in the day-to-day I shall be, but me, Jimmy, and Daniel Kelson, Danny Two Sheets, are all getting back together.
You'll be flying to Vegas to make those calls?
I guess. It'd be, the thing that's funny is the onus is on Jimmy, because the thing about Crank Anchors is it always had these great, you know, Eminem and Dave Chappelle and all these great guys would do, and gals would do the show, the Wu-Tang Clan and stuff like that. And and Jimmy is going to have to, you know, when George Clooney comes on his show, he's going to have to go to the commercial break. Hey, you want to lay down a couple of whatever, which is fine. As he was telling me, the problem is George Clooney's going to go, oh, we're doing an auction for a charity, whatever, like a week from Saturday, and we need an MC. And so Jimmy's going to get sucked into all their
turns out I have free
stuff
weekend.
Is, as well, which is the way it works, and the way it should work, and that's the way it's going to go. So we'll keep you guys posted. I had him pull an old Crank Anchors, which was Burcham, calling into, I think, a mall security place, trying to get a job as a mall security guard. And I picked it because I'm in it. And I picked it because Crank Anchors has come back. But I picked it because it doesn't really, you don't need much visual on this one. I think it's pretty much just tells the story audibly. It's Burcham trying out for a mall security gig.
Hello?
Hello. The security guard plays?
Yes, it's me.
Great. My name's Burcham. I'm new to the area, and I'm looking for a job.
Okay. Right now, we're not hiring because we don't have any openings.
Not hiring, huh?
No.
Not hiring guys that did three tours in NAM and are third-degree black belts in Taekwondo?
Not at the moment.
Not hiring a guy who can take an AK-47 blindfolded, break it down, oil it, and reassemble it in less than 4 minutes? You're not hiring any of them?
We don't.
Not hiring a guy who can kill a man using only his thumb on his left hand?
Well, we don't have any openings at the moment, so if we hire you, we're
not hiring a guy who modified his AK-47 to go full automatic and added a 40-round banana clip to it? You're not hiring that guy? Not hiring a guy who customized his van so it looked like the A-team van? You're not going to hire that guy? You're not going to hire a guy who laid his life on the line for this country so that you could go home to your lesbian partner and live in a judgment-free society? I think you are hiring that guy.
Hello?
Hello.
Can I help you?
You guys hiring?
No, we're not.
You're not, huh?
No.
You're not hiring a guy who was a master in the Shotokan discipline of the martial arts and who trained Green Berets for 4 years on the Mekong Delta before he began his street year tour? You're not hiring a guy who can slide in like a viper and take his prey out with piano wire and never be detected?
But we haven't got any vacancies.
No vacancies, huh?
Indeed.
Now, who is this, Mr. Belvedere?
Mr. who?
I ran into your kind when I was in NAM as a squad leader with your accent. Never did get along with the man. Ended up killing him in a bar fight. But that's beside the point.
Damn right it's beside the point.
You guys need qualified personnel. Yes or no?
I believe you're speaking to one, sir.
You got a bunch of guys who couldn't pass the GED. The cholesterol level's 370.
Excuse me, sir. Who are you exactly?
I'm Burcham, Vietnam vet and American.
Right. Anyway, I believe I've answered your question. No vacancies, sir.
Listen, you're
welcome to call back in a month.
I come with my own arsenal. I don't need any of that police-issue mace or any of those plastic handcuffs you fairies are handing out. I come in there with my own uniform, and I play by my own rules. And what are we guarding, malls?
I don't know who you are, sir. I've answered your question. Now you're going in somewhere else.
Tell you what, guys like you and Nam, we chewed you up and spit you out.
Okay, whatever. Have a nice day, sir. Goodbye.
Yeah, you end up on the bottom of some guy's boot.
It's called Tony Clifton.
So it's coming back.
Here's what the audience needs to know. I was watching Adam the whole time. He was literally mouthing the words. He knows it by, you know it by heart.
No.
Come on.
You didn't listen to it in your free time.
I don't even have the box set. I never, you know, those things always, obviously that thing didn't start. It didn't start to be a not hiring a thing. She just said not hiring. And once I got into the first one, I realized that it looked.
He took a fully automatic gun and made it automatic.
Yeah, I guess an AK. Well, it can be set to fully automatic. Yeah, we don't do a lot of fact checking over there.
So Bertram's coming back.
Bertram's coming back. We'll see. I don't know. You know, I don't know. We can get Dave Chappelle to come back as the Wu-Tang Clan. We have Tracy Morgan as Spoonie Love from up above.
That was also 15 years ago. You got a whole new crop of talent out there. You know what I mean? You got to mine this.
That's right.
A new gen.
We got a new gen of people to hop on that as well. All right. Vinny wanted to. Vinny, are we missing anything? Breakfast, lunch, dinner, sugar, grain. Got it. Any revelations? Anything new? Anything we need to know about? Any products we might like? Is there. Let's see. I got my kids finally on the a high fat yogurt.
Good. Which one? Do you know?
I think the Siggy's. Triple cream. Try to
good
look
stuff.
For yeah. good stuff. Got Sunny alternating between the eggs and the yogurt. What's a good? Oh God, you'd love this one.
Here we go.
I try. You know, I said. I said, give me the. I said on my rider, just give me some lunch meat. Doing this corporate gig, give me some lunch meat, some cheese, and some nuts, and they got me a big container of corn nuts. And I just
says
thought,
nuts.
It says nuts right there, sir.
I always think it's weird. The reason I think it's weird because
does it or does it not say nuts?
If
nuts
you
with a Z.
If you wanted corn nuts on your rider, and you simply said, "Just get me nuts." You could never count on getting corn. Like if you wanted corn nuts,
that's a very specific.
You'd have to ask for corn nuts.
Right.
They always take the dumbest, least paid, youngest person on the roster, and they go out and get this stuff, and they inevitably screw it up when they come back. But
I got you a peach puree.
I thought, yeah, I thought you'd get a kick out of the corn nuts. What is the best? I hate raw nuts, so let's get out of the raw nut department. What is the best baked nut or cooked nut or whatever for that you would want to somebody to put on their yogurt if they were eating their yogurt?
Macadamia nut. Number two, if walnuts taste a lot better, pecans are great. Mm-hmm. You can shave those and kind of crunch them up.
I've got a timely question. So Valentine's Day is in a few days. I'm sure a lot of guys are going to do some last-minute shopping. Candy is a very popular thing. You know what I mean? Obviously, we're talking about degrees of, you know, bad to worse. What can you do to mitigate, the NSNG? If you're going to get candy for the or some sort of sweets for your sweet, what kinds of things, not as bad. You know what I'm saying? If you're trying to do a little better than
bad. There is no... Not
it's all bad is
so,
what he's
so
going to say.
So enjoy it. Just, it's Valentine's Day. It's one day.
But like you recommend the dark chocolate, right? Over the milk chocolate?
Yeah, but I mean, what are we doing now? It's like... It's
trying to help some guys.
No. But it's retarded. Listen, it's all bad. It's Valentine's Day. Cheat.
Go
bang your neighbor.
I'm with you.
You know, I will offer one suggestion to you. I just saw it online. There's a girl on Instagram that goes by Taste Lovely, and she took two cans of coconut milk or coconut cream and whipped it and dipped it with strawberries and stuff. It looks awesome. I can't wait to do it. So that might be a good alternative.
I think the answer cheat. Eat chocolate, but it's better to have chocolate than a piece of chocolate cake. Is that correct?
I would just go to Mrs. C's, get the half pound or the 1 pound. Don't get a 3 pound thing that's going to be sitting around for 2 weeks and you're going to keep eating
crazy
it.
Crazy on
it. Yeah. You know, get just a small amount and go get the stupid roses and call it a day.
You old romantic, you.
You dumb teddy bear.
Do we have to call them? Here's your stupid roses.
C's is the best, man.
C's is the best.
All right. Jim Fix, you wanted to talk about. He's a guy who wrote a very popular, best-selling book in the 70s. There was a few trends that took place in the 70s.
Right.
There was, racquetball. got hot.
Yeah.
And running got hot. Yeah. I think it was the running suit. Somebody came out with something called a track suit. We didn't call them sweatpants.
That's what you're wearing right now.
That's right. We called it a track suit.
Right.
And so it's like, oh.
I'm in a suit.
Yeah. You can put on a track suit and then you can jog. And also, there were tennis shoes, but there weren't running shoes.
Right.
They just had tennis shoes in the past. At some point, like Nike came out with like a running shoe. Mm-hmm. And then Jim Fix wrote a book about running, and it was like the complete guide. To me, it was weird that you had to read. I mean, the book was 300 pages on jogging, which seems weird. But he then keeled over and died like while he was jogging at 52.
Yeah.
And you have some update on this?
Yeah, you know, because I love you and Mark Garagos. I love that show. And I was right above your house in the rain last weekend up at Sierra Madre doing Mount Wilson. And I'm listening to you and Mark, and somehow Jim Fix came up, and you know, you said, oh, he died at 52. And everyone always goes, oh, yeah, that jogging's not good for you. Look at Jim Fix. Well, the problem with Jim Fix is what people don't know, besides the fact that he was a Mensa member, is that he was also overweight most of his life until he took up jogging and then wrote the famous book. The book is called The Complete Book of Running. Jim Fix was also a 2 or 3 pack a day smoker.
Oh, really?
Up until like 8 years before he died. So you can't roll back that clock.
Right.
Right. I mean, once you have that damage, you have that damage. And then after he died, a couple of years later, Kenneth Cooper, who coined the phrase aerobics, wanted to really learn what happened to Jim. And he went and studied the autopsy done on Jim Fix. And he found out that besides being a heavy smoker, he had a stressful life with his job, and he had 2 divorces, and none of that was going well for him. The guy was very stressed out. He also, his father died at 43, and there was congenital heart disease in his family. So besides being obese most of his life, being a multi-pack-a-day smoker for most of his life, you know, it's kind of like what Jack LaLanne said. You know, he goes, if I die, it's bad for business.
Right.
That's what happened to Jim. So a lot of naysayers would go, oh, all that jogging is not really good for you. And then there's another thing that came out a while later. Guys like myself, ultra athletes, guys that go long, really long, they say, look, these guys are having heart problems and they're getting clogged up. So maybe all this exercise is not good for you. The part they're leaving out, and no one's really doing a study on this, is that everybody that goes long is eating nothing but sugar. You're like a kid at a birthday party all day long. And we would like to think of our bodies as being like a car where you put energy in and the exhaust just blows it out. But even though we're burning up all that energy, we're getting the negative effects of sugars and grains the whole time you're riding a bike for 12 or 15 hours or the whole time you're running for 24 hours or what have you. You're still a kid at the birthday party for 24 hours just eating sugar on top of sugar on top of sugar. No one's looking at that. They're going, these people run. And they're dying.
Right.
It makes no sense.
Right.
Right.
My non-scientific approach to running is whenever I see women running, they look miserable. I see like 51-year-old women running and they have a look on their face. It's just like, oh, I hate my life.
I would love to address that if I can.
Please. Also, how about this for an ultra?
And
I'll fold this into the Green New Deal. Somebody, instead of doing the, we crossed the mountain pass and we went through the Gobi Desert or whatever, hook these guys up to a stationary bike that has a generator on it.
Yeah.
You got 10 hours to pedal that bike. It's hooked up to a Prius, and we see who gets the furthest.
I like that.
I like that.
We'll just see who can get that Prius the closest
like
to Vegas. We do it all on like this Santa Monica
That's
Pier.
Good.
We don't know. You can go fast. You can go slow. You can go hard. You can take a rest. You can step off the bike, whatever it is. But all the same Prius, and we'll see how far they can get.
By the way, I wanted to do a green gym at one time back in the 90s in L.A. where I said, instead of just having all of this energy, you know, on the treadmills and the stair machines and all of them, how about we just catch all of that energy with a generator, throw them into batteries, and we can run the gym on its own energy every day? You know, why not just capture it? Why just send it right back to the company and then buy it again?
Right.
You could just run the gym on it.
Right.
That's the biggest expense of a gym. Everyone I went to told me that was the craziest idea they had ever heard. But
except for Ed Begley.
Yeah, yes. Had I known Ed Begley, I could
have
gone to
him. Ed came in his shorts. Everyone else told him it's a horrible idea. I'm going to tease one for you. I was talking to somebody. I called someone today. The thing about all these earbuds is you call people and you're like, what's going on? Like, I'm banging my wife. Oh, okay.
Hanging on.
Yeah, yeah, let me set my beer down. And it's like, oh, okay. Like, you don't have to answer, but it's just, it's not real. It's not a big commitment. Yeah. You got this little earbud. You got your little earbud in your ear. And people are, I call people and they're doing things. Like, oh, what's going on? I'm in the middle of a liquor store robbery right now. Hold on. I got to lay down on my face. So it's going to be a little muffled. Like, they just answer their phone.
Small bills only. Small bills only.
I called Matt DeAndrea, and I called him, and he was in the middle of rowing. He was on his rowing machine, not old school rowing machine, but like rowing machine. And I said, "Oh, how do you like that rowing machine?" And he said, "The best. I love it." And I thought, I like the idea of that. And then I thought, I'm going to talk to Vinny and ask him what he thinks of the rowing machine.
That's my favorite workout.
So you tell us whether. How it ranks to an elliptical or the treadmill or many of the other things. In a second, I'll tease it. I'll tell you right now about, Oh, Castrol Edge. Oh, okay. Castrol Edge. You can tweet us your questions at Adam Carolla Show with the hashtag Castrol Challenge with your questions for Castrol Challenge. Brought to you by Castrol Edge, formulated with fluid titanium technology, reduces friction, maximizes engine performance. Three times,
fool.
Stronger against viscosity breakdown than full synthetics. You got a question, Max Pata?
Yeah, this is from Instagram. At World Rider wants to know, NASCAR or F1?
Oh, F1. I just like the nuance of the F1. I like the technology of the F1. I like the aesthetic of the F1. But I have the same feeling with F1 that I feel with F fighter, as in F-18s and fighter jets and all that stuff, which is the computer got involved and the computer killed the aesthetic. If you take a look at the fighter jets from like the 60s, and you know, you got the F4 Phantom and stuff like that, and they had a Hurricane and they had some a Typhoon and they had some P4s and they had some really killer looking vintage 60s, early 70s stuff, all just written out, drawn out. Everything looked like a bar of soap because people are like, how do you want to be the most aerodynamic? And they go, well, you got to shape it like a bar of soap. Like, it'll be cheat to win. And that's how F1 cars used to be, too. And then the computer started getting involved. The computer started saying, you got to put all these wings and canards, and this shouldn't go this way, and that shouldn't go that way. And some of it was a little counterintuitive, but the computer in the wind tunnel doesn't lie.
Right.
So then they started shaping these F1 cars. And if you find a modern-day F1 car, Max Zapata, versus one that, you know, Mario Andretti drove, like the Lotus John Player Special, like 1976, it's just such an aesthetically more pleasing car. It's like Playmates from the 70s versus the new ones with the weird tattoos and the fake boobies. All right. So I'm going to go F1 because I like the technology of F1, but... I'm old school F1. I like the older looking ones.
I know you like F1 better personally, but do you even like NASCAR? Is that anything? Is that something you're even into? I mean,
I appreciate it. I mean, I appreciate these guys running bumper to bumper at the 200 miles an hour. And I just watched a whole doc on Dale Earnhardt Jr. goes to Daytona or whatever. Like, I like all racing. It's sort of like a guy who likes combat sports. Like, you may prefer UFC, but you'll watch a boxing match or you'll watch some collegiate wrestling or something. Like if it's on, they're into it. I just, they have steel wheels and lugs and stuff. It's just kind of old school technology. For me, half the car is technology and the aesthetic, and the other half is the racing part. All right. Anyway, thanks for that, Castrol. Vinny Tortorich, what are we missing with you?
You were asking me, what was he asking?
Oh, about women running?
Yeah, women running and why. A lot of people, when you see them running, they look like they're in sheer pain.
Oh, yes.
I've been yelling about that for years. The best way to get in shape. Oh, and you asked me about the roar, and I'll talk about that.
Oh, I want to know about that, too.
All right,
yeah.
So the women running, people will go and they run and they think they're in a Rocky movie where they have to be running at their 90 to 100%, which is zone four on your heart.
Mm-hmm.
And all you need to do to stay comfortable and to get into the best shape of your life is be in zone two, which is between 70 and 79% of your aerobic capacity. Now, to make that simple for the audience, take the number 180. I did not say the number 220. This is not a Jane Fonda class.
You just take 180.
You just take 180, subtract your age. So let's take Gina. You take 180 minus 30.
Yeah, 25.
And, all right, 25. And what do you get, Gina?
I'm too dumb. I'm only 25. I don't know.
Okay, you're 55.
Thank you.
So that puts you right in the middle of your zone, too. So okay. 155 is where you want to be all the time. So here's the deal. Let's say you go to the gym. You get on the stair machine or the rowing machine or whatever. You get your heart rate to 155. You don't have to get there in 2 seconds. Take 10, 15 minutes to get there. Just warm up. Let your body catch up. Let your lungs heat up. Let your heart open up. Let the whole – the mitochondria do what it's supposed to do. Let the Krebs cycle do what it's supposed to do.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you wouldn't get in your car, start it up, and just ram it into, you know, into gear and go. The car wouldn't make it very long. Take your time and do it. Stay in zone two. Matt DeAndrea is absolutely correct. One of the best – indoor workouts you can do is the roar. I love the roar. It's probably it's a full body workout. The problem with the roar is you have to constantly measure yourself because you want to start pulling harder and harder. And since it's built on a wind, you know, the wind is catching the thing. That's where the energy is coming from.
Mm-hmm.
It's not linear. The harder you pull, the harder it's going to push back. So you have to make sure you stay measured the entire time.
Mm.
Right. And it doesn't matter if you have it cranked to 10 or a number one. Where are you on it, Brian?
I actually do it all the way, but obviously it's a little harder that way. I do all the way up, but it's nice because I can isolate like my left arm or my left leg if I have to. I'm doing like rehab.
Right.
Like you can literally just let go with your right hand or take your right foot out of the thing. It's a more, it's not as like complete.
Do you have
workout,
a brand of rower you like? It's also a great Katy Perry song.
the best to get is the Concept 2.
Concept 2.
And you could buy brand new for $1,100 or $1,200, or you could find them. Even if you find them used, they're going to still be $800-$900 because they never break, ever.
Matt,
and if they do break, they will fix it for you.
Matt said he got an old school one, and he got it for like $200, and he just upgraded the computer on
it. You could do that,
which is a nice money saving tip. All right, James Brolin is here. I've been excited about this for weeks. Max Patty, you have on my list of things to talk about the Jetway guy needs you to get on the plane. But didn't I talk about that? I've done a lot of podcasts. So
We did go over that.
I actually asked Dylan that same thing. We don't think it was on this show.
It was just.
We talked about it yesterday. It was only about 14 minutes. So.
Yeah.
All right. But don't consult with Dylan.
That was my bad. Not
yeah. Dylan's. Go.
I was never asked. Gina, were you?
No, I could have told you. All
right, James Brolin, excited. It's coming up next. First, I'll tell you about Tommy John. Let's get ourselves some Tommy John. I'm wearing myself some Tommy John right now.
That burgundy one?
I won't. Let's
see. Ooh. Oh, a nice fire engine red.
Yeah.
Don't prove it.
Too late. The best, man. Redefining comfort for men and women with luxurious, soft, feather-light, moisture-wicking underwear. That moves with you, no pinching, no bunching, no riding up. Still looking for Valentine's Day gift? Try their limited edition longwear and underwear, including matching his and her sets. Last year, the limited edition stuff sold out in a week, so let's get going. It is the best. It's Tommy John. It's the best pair you'll ever wear, or it's free guarantee. You'll never go back to what you were wearing before you went to Tommy John. Right, Dawson?
Shop limited edition Valentine's Day gift sets. Again, 20% off your first order at TommyJohn.com/Adam. That's TommyJohn.com/Adam for 20% off only at TommyJohn.com. TommyJohn.com.
Vinny Tortorich, Netflix. Now, how do we get this going?
Yeah, we started doing this. My movie is at Netflix right now. We're trying to get them to make it a Netflix original. It's also at Amazon and a few other places. We haven't sold it to anyone yet. But then I learned that Netflix has a thing that you could go to. It's called help.netflix.com. You can go there, and on the right side of that page, it says request a movie.
Mm-hmm.
And you can request, you know, a documentary. And I would appreciate it if everyone would go and do that because I would like it to be at Netflix. If not, We're talking to other people, and it's going to be everywhere else. But if it ends up at Netflix, I would be happy with that. I would be happy with Amazon Prime also. But two of the biggest players are looking at Fata documentary right now, and you know this is a way that we could get more energy behind it.
Well, it's important. It's important to watch it with your family as well. And as long as you're going to look for a movie, check out Not Taco Bell Material. Mm-hmm. That's my stand-up special. It's playing in 20 cities February 27th, but only if you make it so. So go to adamcarolla.com/events or tug.com. It's two G's, and sign up and get it going in a city near you, and it shall happen. So the people, whether it's Fat, a documentary, or Not Taco Bell Material, the people must speak. All right. James Brolin in next. We'll do that right after this.
The Corolla Drinks Wine Club is back, offering you the best deals on 3, 6, and 12 packs of Mangria. Aside from discounts on each and every bottle, with a 3-pack, you'll get a custom actual chicken shit ticket signed by the Ace Man himself. With a 6-pack, you'll get the signed ticket, plus an exclusive shirt with every shipment only available to Wine Club members. We'll kick it off with the Ace Man's definitive Taco Rankings t-shirt designed by Corolla on paper. And with the 12-pack, you'll get the ticket, 3 custom shirts, plus a special invitation for you and a guest to the Corolla Family Summer Barbecue, held at our studio and hosted by Lynette and Adam. You'll eat incredible food, meet Adam, Brian, Gina, myself, and the lackeys, and get a tour of the ACS studio. Plus, you'll get to see each and every one of Ace's cars, including the magical 935. It all goes down June 22nd and is only for you beautiful 12-pack members. So head to CorollaDrinks.com and pick your tier today.
And now, Alcoa presents Definitely Not a Jew on the Adam Carolla Show. Dateline, Pinellas Park, Florida. A 40-year-old man was arrested for domestic battery after striking his live-in boyfriend with a cup of ramen noodles! Definitely not a Jew!
James Brolin in studio. I've been waiting a long time to talk to James Brolin.
Really?
Oh, yes.
Oh.
I rarely do my homework literally and figuratively. Like, I didn't do any homework in high school, but I did my James Brolin homework first.
I didn't either. By the way, can I interrupt you and say, I have no idea why they invited me over here.
Because so, I'm interested.
Like, all right.
I summoned you. I made it be.
That's very cool.
You're on my dream board. I want to talk to you. First off, I announced the other week that nobody's born or lives in Westwood, California, but evidently you were born in Westwood.
Well, you did some homework.
California?
Yeah. You know where the Avco Theater is?
Yeah.
Yeah, that was a hospital overlooking the cemetery.
And,
oh, wow.
Yeah, and I was born, and they tore it down immediately.
Sure. We can't have this
and
again.
And build a theater, and I thought, well, maybe I'll go into that business, you know.
And I always said me and Dr. Drew are the only two guys in show business that were ever born out here and lived out here our entire life, but I'm now going to add James Brolin to that list. Cool.
Because you know what? We know how to talk to each other.
That's right.
California guys have just like a... There's an invisible telegraph between them. There's an understanding.
So you've just been out here your entire career, your entire life.
Yeah.
So Cal.
Yeah, and every time I go on a location somewhere, I go, I got to buy here and move here. Mm-hmm. Never have.
Also, somebody sent me a random picture of a Paul Newman, like, C-production car that I was interested in because I have a bunch of old Paul Newman race cars.
Mm-hmm.
And they sent me this picture of this old car that was up on blocks. It's up on jack stands. And as I was looking at it, I was looking at the transporter and the Ferrari, which I knew was Newman's. And it says Clint Eastwood, James Brolin, Gene Hackman, Paul Newman on the side of it.
Mm.
Can you explain how that came to be?
This was owned by Ray Ramsey, who owned Ferrari of Monterey. And I guess, you know, Ray was kind of a oddball. And anyway, all five of us went to Bondurant 1 week.
Hackman and Newman and all you guys.
Eastwood.
Eastwood.
Yeah, yeah. And Hackman was actually the fastest driver and had the most repairs.
So
he
owed him
16 grand when he left that
day. So he went to Bondurant, Bob Bondurant, still with us, by the way, and part of the famous Bondurant driving school. So you all went out.
Where was that?
Probably at Riverside back then.
No.
Arizona?
It was just on North Bay, San Francisco.
Oh, really?
What is that called? It's up and down, turn left, turn right.
Laguna Seca.
No. The one north of the bay.
I don't know.
Napa. Sonoma.
Sears Point. Sonoma.
Exactly.
Sorry.
Sears Point.
Thanks, Brian.
If you have any racing questions, you direct them this way.
Sears Point. It's called Infineon. It's like had a few different names, but it was Sears Point.
It's a good track to learn on.
It's a technical, difficult track.
Very.
It's got some change of elevation and some off-camber turns.
We got out of there, and I got a call from Bondurant said, you know, if you'd have started a younger kid, you'd have been a really good driver.
How old are you at this point?
70. It was 73 or I was 33 or 34.
And Clint Eastwood and
he
Hackman
was with us.
And Newman are all, this is some of the biggest male leading stars in the world, right?
And Hackman lived in Monterey at the time, and Eastwood lived in Monterey, and I was a friend of Eastwood's, and I met Ray Ramsey up there, and I forget, my dentist, Jim Penna, was there with us, and I forget who else, but there are five or six guys. And when we came back, I got a call from Ray Ramsey, who said, I want you to drive for me. And I said, do why? Mm-hmm. And he said, I've got this Fiat 131, which was the world champion rally car, and we're going to start to IMSA campaign it, and I want you to drive. So I spent the next at least 6 months on every other weekend, going somewhere and having the thing blow up on me or have a wheel fall off or something.
Right.
And
I heard you did the 12 hours of Sebring and hit a pig.
Yeah, well, that was later on when I was driving for B.F. Goodrich. I drove for Renault. I drove for B.F. Goodrich for 5 years. And
part of your life.
For 5 years, it was. It was a major thing, and I'm doing a series at the same time. But I was going on the weekends.
You were doing, let's see, what year was that? I'm looking down. It was earlier than Hotel.
Yeah,
right.
It was Marcus Welby.
Marcus Welby.
Yeah.
So you're working full time as an actor, and then you're driving. You're sort of doing what Newman did, but Newman made features, so he didn't have the full time schedule.
Right. Exactly.
Did you spend much time with Newman?
I did. You know, I raced against him at Connecticut at
Lime Rock.
Lime Rock. Yeah. A few times.
That was kind of his home track.
Yeah.
So it was tough to beat him.
Of course, he was always up in the front, and I was always near the back, you know. But a lot of these races were where we had three drivers, too, you know.
Endurance stuff.
Yeah. Nürburgring was the apex
I want to talk about that because I love cars, and I love this whole story. But we're here to plug Life in Pieces, so I should tell people that is coming back. The sitcom on CBS, and its fourth season is coming back soon. I don't think we have a date yet.
No, we don't have a date. Actually, we've been shooting Candace Bergen's show. What was the name of it?
Murphy Brown.
Murphy Brown, yeah. Came back and didn't do well. Replaced us for some reason. We're in the top 20. Here's the reason, actually, is Fox owned half the show and CBS owned half. And all these networks like to own the whole show now.
Sure.
So they stuck something in there that they owned all of, and it's not working. And I think they've replaced even them now, and then we're coming back on in the summer.
Mm.
I don't know how permanent that is or what. I got a good series in my head right now for the next one. So
Diane, you're married to Diane Weiss in it, right?
Yeah.
I find her fetching and I mean, I fell in love with her when I saw Parenthood.
Mm-hmm. She's the best.
And she was the mom. And she's like, oh, Gary. Gary. Like, she was...
Beleaguered.
That movie had... That was sort of a Crimes and Misdemeanors of a Ron Howard effort, which is like, it had so much going on. Lots of pathos. Comedy, a lot of pathos, a yeah. lot of, like, her relationship with her troubled son and just...
A young Joaquin Phoenix,
and it was just such. I fell in love with her in that movie, and I probably loved her in every other.
And I love her now. You know, she's just a pistol.
I'm such a fan. So you grow up out here. Mm-hmm. What do your parents do out here back in the day?
Well, that's a good one. My dad, actually, when I was born, he had moved out with his parents, who were candy and cake bakers, to Pasadena to open this very popular candy and cake, just an outlet. It was just a bakery. Anyway, because it was a local school, my dad was smart enough to get into Caltech and became one of their honor students and was plucked out of Caltech as an engineer to figure out why the DC-3 was vibrating apart on mm-hmm. Donald Douglas.
Yeah, commercial aircraft.
He ended up going over there, becoming a chief engineer at, they were all built at Santa Monica.
Mm-hmm.
And so that was his first career. Then when I remember later he was saying to me that, you know, these guys, these big wigs, they put you to work, they take all the credit and they leave you in the dirt, you know. He was plucked out of there by Bill Lear, who's the first guy ever to put a radio in a car, radio in an airplane, perfected the autopilot. My dad worked for him for a while.
Lear Jets?
Yeah. But at that time it was Lear Avionics.
Do you know that he has a daughter, I believe, who I met, whose name's Shanda?
Yeah, that's right.
No.
Yeah.
Really?
How would they do that?
He named his daughter Shanda, and he is now Chandelier.
Wow. Well.
Yeah.
I don't know. I feel like that's a smart move. Like, yeah. I feel like you're leaving money on the table
right.
if you don't name
your
last name is Lear, and you don't go with Shanda,
yeah,
but her name is Shanda.
Wrong.
So your dad was an avionics guy or a constructor, an engineer, it worked in that world.
In that world until
he went...
Which
was big out here for many, many years.
He went to work... His third career was going to work here in Glendale for Wham-O.
The toy manufacturer. Oh, wow.
Yeah, with the hula hoop. And,
wow, the Hudsucker proxy. That's him.
Yeah, because he was an inventor also. Then he designed a thing that made the coal snap-on bathing suit bra.
Familiar.
Yeah. It was a wired bra, and you just snap it on, and there was no ties or anything. So he made the machine that made the wires and everything. And then he started studying geology and got enamored with the Lost Dutchman mine in Arizona. So we moved to the Superstitions for a couple of years while he's up there, and he ended up owning silver and tungsten. Because, you know, at this time, that would be worth maybe $50 billion in gold.
Wow.
It was old Peralta gold that was lost in an earthquake in a cave.
God, your dad is super renaissance-y. Yeah.
Well, then he went broke.
They always go broke.
It's
why
romantic
have to go broke?
Part of the story.
Came back to L.A. Somehow we lived in Brentwood, you know, a nice area, and he started building houses one at a time. And then he started building complexes of apartments. And so he had like five careers.
Mm.
So I remember going, you know, he'd say, you want to go with me today? This was a rarity. And I'd get in the car and go with him. And he'd get there and he'd say, wait in the car. And he'd go in this house and he'd be there 2 hours and come out. And I don't know where he was, but we can guess.
He had a gal?
Could be. I don't know. I never knew. But that was my outings with my dad. He did what he wanted to do. He took me fly fishing, which he wanted to do, so I learned to fly fish. He took me on a lot of things that he wanted to do. And so even though he's an asshole,
mm-hmm.
I got a lot out of it.
Yeah.
Wow. You know what I mean? Courage. I go, well, if he can do that, I can do that, you know.
Well, you're licensed pilot, right?
Yeah.
And you have a background in some building and some construction.
I do.
Some of the stuff that I enjoy very much. I'm very, very
I own a
into that.
Lumber yard for the last 40 years that we started on a whim just to try and get wholesale lumber for a project.
Really?
Yeah.
Where's the lumber yard?
in San Luis Obispo.
Wow. I was taking a deep dive on James Brolin, and I started finding out all this super interesting stuff. So for you, you grow up out here.
Mm.
Your dad's dynamic, but it's that kind of thing where it's like he's a great guy, but not for a dad. Like, I think, can we all recognize, I may be one of those dads. Like, I'm a good...
I may be also. No, I am too.
It sounds cool to hang out and watch a game and have a beer with this guy, but not full time.
Right.
So
that's right.
You, unfortunately, your dad's full time with you. Like, the world's greatest drinking buddy and the world's greatest wingman and the world's greatest, literally, wingman. And
he built the wing.
Wingman.
Yeah.
But not dad, right?
Exactly. So, I mean, I watch him and I want him, and I couldn't help but mimic him in a lot of things. But as far as a buddy, no, I don't depend on it.
So what do you do? Where do you go to high school?
Uni.
Uni, which is out here.
Barrington and Wilshire there, and I went to Brentwood and, you know, all around that area.
So
right?
What's the plan back in the day? Like, what is your dad, does he have hopes and dreams for you, or is it just wait in the car while I bang my guma?
The only thing I ever heard is, you know, just get into college and get a law degree. You'll be able to walk into any door you want. Doesn't matter right. what business you go into. Got a law degree, you got it made. So, let's see. I'm trying to figure my first inkling as an actor. Well, actually, a couple of buddies in school, Jan Barry and Dean Torrance, became Jan and Dean.
Jan and Dean.
Yeah.
I was going to say, yeah.
I remember the day they came to Jan's father and my father were friends, so I had a little association with them because of that. And both fathers bought the first Ampex recorder ever made in a box about – it looked like a little suitcase. Where
right.
And you open it up and there's two reels. And,
right.
Well, Jan's dad had one. So Jan – what happened?
Oh, there they are.
They're here with
look
us.
At that.
Yeah.
Cool.
She had a confection store in Pasadena.
Go, Granny, go.
Go, Granny, go. Yeah.
And, so – look at this.
I know. We're good.
Fast.
So, Jan, so you're friends with Jan and Dean.
Yeah. And so they had a piano in the garage. Jan put thumbtacks in the hammers so it had a different sound. And he learned C, F, and G seventh, the three rock and roll chords. And they did a song called Jenny Lee.
Mm-hmm.
And they put it out to the radio stations. And came to school one day with a bag full of dimes, handing every call KFWB.
Mm-hmm.
Remember KFWB?
Sure, yeah. Still yeah. News yeah. 98 is yeah. now.
And request this tune. Well, it became number one, at least in California, number one.
They're coming to high school. This is still in this high school?
Yeah. We're 17.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah, now there was obviously a Dead Man's Curve was a hit of theirs, and then there's a very tragic accident where...
Yeah.
Jenny
Lee.
That's right. He hit like a gardener's truck in like a flatbed truck in like a Corvette or something. He was severely injured.
He was a fast driver, obviously. Mm-hmm. Loved his fast cars and drove them hard every day. He was in a Corvette and he was at Dead Man's Curve, which is the big curve just entering UCLA on Sunset, you know
right.
that big
sure,
and a semi or a tanker was turning left, and he went under it,
oh, yeah.
And he was 4 years old after that.
Well, how old was he during the accident? Like the early 20s?
Yeah. Yeah,
they got started early. 20s. Yeah, they made there's been at least one or two like TV movies about the sort of life and times of Jan and Dean. So
and Jan so smart. He was not only did he parlay that into several albums, but he was about to graduate from California Medical School with an MD degree
before the accident.
During the accident, yeah, I think he was in the last year of med school.
So
and going out every weekend to concerts, you know.
Wow. All right. Well, we'll talk about the Beach Boys and the Ripcords a little bit later, but I want to get back to James. I want to get back to James Brolin here. So,
okay,
you know some showbiz guys a little bit,
and
there's a little dabbling. What would your dad think about you if you announced you wanted to act?
10,000 to 1 chance against you,
right? So
law degree is reversed,
Right. So he wants you to go out and do something a little more pragmatic act.
Oh, yeah.
So when does the acting begin?
Well, I'll tell you what he did. He said, okay, you start at UCLA, and I'll pay for your gas and your lunches.
Mm-hmm.
So I was at UCLA for about 6 months as a theater arts major. And that was my second. I was first at Santa Monica City College and then transferred to UCLA. When he gave me a bill, he said, here's how much you owe me so far. Ooh. That changed my life. That changed my life. Then my dad was really an asshole from then on.
Well, he was hard up for money. He was broke.
That's who I play in Life in Pieces. You know, I'm trying to parlay this this image. You know, you can't. You love him. He's your dad. You know, you love all. And I now love all the things that he taught me. But to hand me a bill, that really changed my life and might have literally made my career. But I, because
so you,
I went to, okay, this is what I'm going to do. I'm an actor now. And I got a commercial with Dodge driving a truck. Mm-hmm. As a matter of fact, they approached me on the street.
I was going to say, yeah. Wasn't it a time, I mean, you were a strikingly handsome young man. It was a time when people would discover very aesthetically strong-looking male and females. And probably, I mean, you know, Paul Giamatti had to earn his way onto
well,
the screen. Well,
now that's in fashion.
Right. But back then, we just went, look, it's not rocket science. You got to memorize a couple of lines.
Yeah.
We don't need a ton of emoting. Mm-hmm. Get the best-looking people we can find and just put them, tell them to hit their mark. And someone discovered you. I mean, you were just walking down the street.
Walking down the street. Somebody said, would you be interested in doing a commercial? And I went, I wouldn't have to talk, would I? I literally said that. And they said, matter of fact, not. You just, we got a cowboy hat and driving a Dodge truck. That's all. So I did the thing. And then they called, this was BBDO, the largest company in America for commercials, right? And they called me back to do another one, right? Kind of like a sequel, the same guy driving the truck. And when I was there, an agent came up to me and said, well, they seem to like you. You know, we'd like to represent you. So the next thing I know, I'm doing a Gallo wine commercial. And the Screen Actors Guild is saying, okay, well, you're not Taft-Hartley anymore. You owe us $600 for membership or you can never work again. I said, but they just paid me $400, which after taxes was $250. Where am I going to get $600?
Yep.
This is a losing business.
Well, yes.
Yeah. So you want me to go on?
I do. So.
Okay. Then I went off to then I heard about a friend of my dad's who was building. My dad was building a house. My dad helped develop Truesdale Estates here.
Yeah.
And this guy was producing a movie.
Truesdale Estates, by the way, some of the most expensive real estate in California.
And there was a day where, you know, they just cleared the trees. It was a half mile by a half mile of just dirt on a hill. Now it's the most expensive property in town. Anyway, one of these guys was producing Mutiny on the Bounty.
Mm-hmm.
And then Marlon Brando is like in it and everything. So I approached the guy and he said, yeah, you'd be good to play Brando's son in the movie. So I'm off to Tahiti to play Brando's son, and throughout the next year in Tahiti, I'm in the movie, out of the movie. The movie's postponed because of rains and monsoon, and so I spend a year in Tahiti. I come back home, and I'm parking cars on La Cienega, Lowry's and Dino's.
Yeah.
Lowry's still there.
Lowry's still there.
Yeah. And I get an appointment. Oh, I go and see this this agent that said, you know, we'd be interested in you. And they said, oh, we'd like to get you an appointment over at Fox tomorrow morning at 10 o'clock. They're looking at some young people. That morning at 10 o'clock, I went under contract for 7 years to Fox. And I'm just 19. I'm just about 20. It was like June of 1960 or something.
Did your I probably know the answer to this, but does your dad ever come around? Does he ever see on Marcus Welby or my favorite Trapped?
Well, he
Trapped
died,
in
he
apartment
died a while
store
back,
with Dobermans.
But he used to call and make reservations under Brolin.
There it is.
Oh,
yeah,
I see.
James Brolin needed a table for four tonight, and he started using the hell out. And you know, and coming to the studio where we're shooting, and I go, well, okay, I know him. He'll last about an hour. He'll be gone. But he was never a problem. After that, he was just proud. And, you know, as a young kid, I got a little pissy because, okay, now the table's reversed.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Look at you groveling, you know.
And then you have Josh, of course.
Yeah.
Who... I did the Toyota. I think I did the Toyota Grand Prix the first year I did the celebrity Toyota Grand Prix with him, and he was rambunctious. I would label him as rambunctious.
He's aggressive.
I have two sons. One is so laid back and lazy, and probably the happiest of all of us. And Josh is so aggressive.
I remember at a certain point, they
give
said,
you a hot
like,
foot.
I said, they would say, so what was happening is everyone was going out to Willow Springs, and they would stay at Willow Springs, which is 100 miles in the desert, because they had to do this driving school that was like, do Monday, then Tuesday, then Monday. And everyone stayed at a hotel, and they'd party their asses off, and all sorts of hijinks would occur. Now, I had to like work at night, so I was like going back and forth and back and forth. I never explained. But one day, I think the day before the race, one of the guys, I think you'd probably find a picture of this. He was an announcer. It was Steve. I can't think of his name. But he's down in the lobby, and everyone had trained for weeks to do this race. And he's like, I'm out of the race. I'm like, what happened? He's like, dislocated my shoulder. I'm like, what happened? Me and Josh Brolin and some of the other guys were drinking in a hotel room. We started wrestling. And like, Josh dislocated my shoulder. I was like, he's going to kick everyone out of this race with his own hands. And I thought, that's why I didn't go up to the room. Like, I remember everyone's like, we're going up to the room. We're getting drunk. I'm like, I don't want to wrestle.
That's a story that not only surprises me, but I hadn't heard. You know?
Yes.
Yeah.
It was the first year I did it. He was a local sports guy. And anyway, he ended up in a sling with a dislocated shoulder.
Josh is like, one down.
The average age was like 37 and a half when this fight went down. It was good-natured wrestling.
Scrapping.
I don't judge, but I thought Josh is a go-for-it kind of guy.
Yeah, I pity the guy that picks on him in a bar, but he's not an aggressive type of guy.
He got into a bar fight on the set of while they're shooting W, right? Like, didn't he get arrested in Texas?
Was that the one up in Louisiana?
Oh, Louisiana. Somewhere he was on location, and he was.
But I think that had to do with somebody in the bar being kicked out who shouldn't have been kicked out.
Okay, I just remember hearing the story.
I think
that
he was defending
set.
A guy who was being messed with unfairly.
Wow. Gotcha.
Yeah. James won the second one in '78. By the way, James. Oh, sorry. The second Toyota Grand Prix they ever
ran. Did, yes.
Yeah. That's right. Steve Hartman was the guy who got his arm dislocated by Josh up in the room. It's unclear who dislocated his shoulder. All I know is those guys went up the room to drink and wrestle.
That's awesome.
And I was like, I'm sleeping at home tonight.
So that reminded me of a race. Let's see. I started driving Le Car. The homologated Le Car, which was just faster than it's not.
That's the turbo power.
And that was at Riverside.
Mid-engine one.
And my French partner for Renault was killed in that race. Lost it and slid sideways and hit the wall like a karate chop.
Ooh. Wow.
Just snapped his
you were That was your driving partner that race?
Yeah.
In your car?
Yeah, well, we were both.
Right, you're taking turns.
Yeah,
that was the LA Times Endurance race they probably had at Riverside. They had like the whatever. I think they just called it the LA Times Grand Prix or whatever. It's like an 8-hour endurance race at Riverside, which was a huge, big track out here. And
then I believe I drove for Jack Kent Cook the 934. Was
934,
the twin Porsche?
935 was the twin.
935.
And I was about to tell you that Rolf Stumlin died in a 935 at Riverside. He drove with Newman at Le Mans, then died a short period of time later at Riverside in a 935 as well.
And you know what? I was at Sebring. This was after I hit the pig that night, and I was practicing. I was going through the chicane, and it was just after dark, which is the toughest time on a track.
Mm-hmm.
You can't see, you can't judge well, and suddenly. In the dust, I see this, what looks like a hog. I mean, a 400-pound hog, and it was a pet. that somebody had brought, because you know the whole center of the track is loaded with motorhomes and drunks.
Right.
Well, they brought their pet hog, right? And the hog got loose.
Yeah.
And it's running across the track at the chicanes, and I go, this mother is going to scoop right up this Porsche hood and right through the windshield and take my head off unless I get this thing sideways.
It's a so very
I
long,
hit the brakes and I did what I did. And guess what? It caught the front of the left tire and ripped the A-arm and the tire completely off.
The 924 Porsche he's driving is low with a long
front
hood.
Wasn't it a V8?
No.
No?
No.
It was a 6.
No, it's a 4.
Really?
With a turbo.
I don't remember that, but it was
we'll
a
look
fast
it up.
Little car.
I didn't drive it.
He'll remember
but
for
I'm
you.
Telling you.
Yeah.
I'll remember 4. It was a turbocharged 4. But people, don't get mired in 6 or 4 or 8 in race car trim, because they have F1 cars with 4 cylinders with 800 horsepower. It's all how they put the turbo on it. But it's a long, low front hood. It's like a wedge. So if it hit a pig, the pig's coming right through the windshield.
And that decision had to be made in how many milliseconds?
Oh, milliseconds. And I was so but you know, I was just amazed that that tire and A-arm just passed me like nothing. And then the truck drivers later brought this cooked hog in the morning to me and said there wasn't they found him in a ditch, rolled over, and there wasn't a mark on his skin. That's why they make footballs out of these bastards.
The truck drivers?
No, the tow truck guys. Lots of tow truck guys on the track. Yeah.
All right, that 924 that Mr. Brolin drove at Sebring should have had a 2.2 or 2.4 liter four cylinder with a turbo.
Amazing
charger on it. You confirmed that.
So anyway, to finish the story, the next morning the car was fixed like new, same car.
Mm-hmm.
These guys got that car together so fast, it was unreal, and I drove that day. And it was on the straightaway at Sebring, which is a long runway.
It's an airport.
7,000-foot runway, okay? So you come out and you go onto there, and you finally can shake your hands and loosen up and drive with one finger and put your foot in it and get up to 190 miles an hour. Problem is there's a flag down there that says you're not going to make that U-turn unless you downshift right now. Oops.
Yeah, they have braking markers.
Yeah, I just passed it. Oh, boy. I quit that day. I go, I'm going to kill myself.
Yeah.
And I quit that day. That was 5 years of driving. I went, they keep putting me in these cars that are way over my head. I started in the, you know, in the Fiat 131, I still belong in there, or a Mini Cooper.
And you had your driving partner in Riverside, which is crazy.
Yeah, yeah.
Before, I don't know, I'm going to tease this, but I wonder if they'd had a Hans device, the head and neck restraint system back then. I'm wondering if he would have made it.
I don't believe so. Yeah, it's very possible.
Because he snapped his neck, obviously.
Yeah, I mean, he hit, you know, like a karate chop. He hit that car against a wall, exactly the front, no more than the back.
Right, just
like
slammed
a slap.
It. Just
yeah.
slammed it.
And his head neck took all the force then.
Let me tell you about Scott Turf Builder, and then we'll get on to other James Brolin subjects. Easy to get the lawn of your dreams by simply feeding your lawn a few times throughout the year. Feed your lawn 4 times a year for a thick, green, and lush lawn. Help to crowd out those pesky weeds and create a greener, stronger, more resilient lawn. Scott's no quibble, money back guarantee. If you're not satisfied, you'll get your money back. Once in early spring, late spring, again, summer, and then in fall, and you get a greener, stronger lawn all year long.
I need some of this stuff. Send me some of this stuff. I got a patchy lawn. You know what I mean? I gotta even it out, make it all nice and green and lush.
Take it, Scott's, and send some to Bald Brian over there so it can be the envy of his cul-de-sac.
Post picks.
Start your Scott's Turf Builder program today. This is Scott's. This is a Scott's yard, everybody. All right. Talked a lot about cars. You're living with Babs now in Malibu, right?
Mm-hmm. 22 years.
Congratulations.
Yeah.
How many square feet in?
What?
How many square feet is the home?
It's about 8,000 plus the garage in the office.
That's a lot of Scott's turf builder.
Yeah.
Cozy.
Yeah. Oh, no. We got lots of lawn. There's
I'm
no
sure
doubt about
I
that.
Doubt it, yeah.
I always hear the story.
But Javier has it just so beautiful. Hey, Javier.
I heard the story that there's a shopping mall on the premise.
Such bullshit.
Really?
There was a, there was an off-Broadway and possibly Broadway show called Buyer Seller about this.
Well, it's not really total bullshit, but here's the deal.
Partial bullshit.
Here's the deal. We decided with a lot next door that we were going to build a barn, look like a Connecticut barn, and move over there, right? And we built it, and we still have it. But in it, we did a basement, and I had been – this was really my wife's idea, but I had been in Atlanta. Atlanta Underground, they used to call it. Do you remember that?
No.
It was one of the first underground – you know, like in Boston and some of the Canadian cities. You can go shopping underground while the weather's horrible.
Yeah.
Well, there was no such thing then. But so Atlanta Underground was really unique. You could go down and would shop and there'd be bars and things like that. So I went, you know, like in the basement, wouldn't it be great if the doors were, you know, it looked like a shopping street. And it's really just rooms. And one bedroom is called the antique shop because it's got old furniture and old decoration. And another, she collects dolls. So there's the doll shop there, but it's no more than a gorgeous storage room.
And no one's being employed.
No.
There isn't a janitorial staff.
No, as a matter of fact, the neighbors at one point said, we know that you're going to, you know, begin to bring in the public and sell jams and jellies and things, you know, because it looks like a farm.
Built in corners. By the way, the 924 Carrera GTR, 2-liter motor.
Mm.
With the turbocharger on it, making a robust 375 horsepower, 299 foot-pounds of torque. Price was $75,000 back in the day.
1981.
You mean from a dealer?
I don't know. Stuttgart, I don't know where you got.
There were only 17 made, and and none of them were sold like for a street. So they're not
street legal version of it. But Malibu.
Mm-hmm.
What about the fires? The fires jumped PCH for the first
time. They're pretty horrible. I don't know if anybody's been over Canaan, but it looks like a war zone. It looks like elephant skin with a couple of hairs sticking out, you know?
You're on the other side of PCH. I mean, on the ocean side.
Yeah, we're on the top of the cliff.
Did it get near you?
Five houses away, burnt down. And then a house 12 feet from that wasn't even scorched. So a lot of it had to do with the direction of winds and Venturi effect up canyons and between houses. Were you guys evacuated?
We were.
They wouldn't let us back in for two weeks. So 12 days I was gone. And, you know, if I hadn't been with my wife, I probably would have been like the surfer boys and few of the fathers that 50 guys stayed there and helped put out other and save other houses.
Yeah.
But I'm surprised that the insurance companies are coming in and really, you know how they usually screw you? they're putting out money because guess what? Malibu's not going to burn for 10 years, so it's a cash cow for the insurance companies. And they're bending over backwards to make things right. I'm surprised.
I got to say, there's something every time I go to the ocean, I make the same announcement I make when I have there's an egg salad sandwich or fish and chips. I go, I got to do this more often. Why am I always eating turkey? Whenever I go to the ocean, especially that stretch of the ocean, Christine, you just look at it. You just go, God. But then if you lived here, maybe be too sane. Like, do you ever go somewhere, like if you go to, like I was saying, Laguna Seca before, and you go to Monterey, at some point you drive around and you go, there's a Monterey High School. And then you go, imagine that's your high school.
St. Helena High School, right in the middle of St. Helena wine country.
Right, right.
And you go, high school here.
But then maybe you'd be too sane. Like
maybe there
wouldn't be enough adversity. Yeah. Maybe you need the bully. Maybe you need Jan and Dean.
And Jan and Dean, of course, were surf-oriented. So at 15, somebody drove me out to Malibu, and I went, whoa, look at this. And all Velzy and, you know, all the great surfers were at Malibu Pier in those days. And it was all, you know, there was not much traffic on the Coast Highway, and Anyway, by 16, I was out there parking cars at a place called The Raft and the Tongale, which is now Nobu.
Oh, sure.
And there was a thing called the Pier View in between where they had sawdust on the floor. So same place, Nobu.
Wow.
And I parked cars there for years and surf. I was a poor surfer. Josh is a great surfer. But I was a poor surfer, but I couldn't give up Malibu. And 22 years ago, have met this dame that owned a house out there.
Well, are you? You guys seem like a very unlikely couple.
I'm
sure it's been said before.
Yeah,
I don't mean that.
True,
I don't mean that as a pejorative. I just mean you seem like an unlikely couple. So, are you a big Barbara Streisand fan before you meet Barbara Streisand?
I saw her. It's so funny because I've always loved lady and girl singers, right? But I was kind of unaware. She was just kind of like I was aware of her. And then one day I saw her she did a free concert in the park with 150,000 people. I don't know if you remember back in the 70s or something. And I went, she's got a good voice, but I love what she says between songs. Mm-hmm. And I went, let me earmark that, you know. And I passed her a couple of times at award shows and nodded, and she was busy, went by, you know. She may have looked and looked away. But it wasn't until I had been divorced for about five years and was living at the marina in a little apartment, and somebody said, what would you think about dating Barbara? No, what would you think about dating me, they said. And they called a friend of mine, actually. I said, tell her I'm going out of town. So she called back the next day and said, what would you think about dating my friend Barbara Streisand? And I go, oh yeah. I remember that earmark.
From the list.
Let me check that out. So we're both that night on our way to a party that's literally created for us of three tables of 10 people out on a porch on a beautiful July night overlooking the Bel Air Golf Course.
You had no choice but to fall in love at that point.
Well, anyway, I'm on my way and I pick up the phone going, who needs this? And I dial and it's ringing and she's on her way from cutting Mirror Has Two Faces, which she just directed and starred in. And the editors are waiting at the studio while she goes to this stupid party, right? And she picks up the phone and goes, I need this, like a hole in the head. And we both went, nah, I'll go. So we ended up showing up there and just very stilted and everything. And it wasn't until I had to always dyed my hair, you know, during hotel. Really mm-hmm. dark, and had him make it look real Italian, you know, like curly and everything. And somebody said, why don't you just get real, dude, you know? So I shaved it all off right down to here, except there was little copper endings on there.
Mm-hmm.
We were 29 people sitting at this dinner, and she walked up. She was downstairs with the kids. I'm going, where is this woman, you know? She comes up, and she comes around me, and she goes, who fucked up your hair? And I went, oh, man, somebody's telling the truth here. This is what I liked at the concert, you know. So anyway, it was love right from that moment. It was like, God, I trust this person. And she is incapable of lying.
Was that her way of flirting with you, or she was at that point not sure?
No, it's just truth.
That's great.
She just is. I mean, if you ever hear any stories about her, believe her and not whoever's telling the story, because she's incapable of lying. And I'm a good liar.
All right. We'll take ourselves a quick break. We'll come back and we'll do the news with James Brolin right after this.
Hey, it's Adam Carolla.
Hey, it's Eric Stromer.
Hey, it's kind of my thing.
Hey, I'm going to... All right, sorry. Hi, I'm Eric Stromer.
Let's not live in the past. You should listen to Ace on the House, because me and Stromer dispense building advice every Saturday on Podcast One and Apple Podcasts.
I might even go as far as to say professional building advice.
Hey, get me some coffee.
There you go. Here I go. I'm running.
Ace on the House, every Saturday on Corolla Digital. Download now at adamcarolla.com, the Podcast One app, and wherever you listen to podcasts. Ace on the House.